Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned, and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. For today's short lesson, we have Graham Hobson, the founder and CTO of the Photobox Group. During his time growing the Photobox Group into the hugely successful business it became, Graham had a huge number of lessons. Perhaps his biggest lesson was the growth mindset, and this was taught to him by the CEO that they took on to grow the company as it scaled. And Graham admits that he felt regularly out of his depth, growing this company from zero to a huge exit, which is just a very uncommon thing for many entrepreneurs. And he believes the main reason for his success was the belief in him from others and the fact that he was just always trying to learn new skills and developing his mindsets. And you don't need to hear this all from me. Let's hear from Graham for this mindset masterclass. How did you get to like then selling business? Was that like a stressful period for you, like giving away your baby? And or was it just like, happy to kind of no longer have a job and things? What were your kind of thoughts around the whole process?
My story is unusual in that I ended up being with Photobox for 17 years. So at that point, it had moved on as a company. It was now running in 20 countries and we had 1,400 staff. And I was part of an executive team of maybe 10 people. So first of all, I knew they didn't need me anymore. And in fact, I'd removed myself from the CTO role at the end of 2014 because I realized that the challenges ahead were that we needed to embrace mobile apps much more. We needed to kind of have a more coherent strategy around other companies in the group because we'd acquired other companies as well as Moonpig. And we needed this kind of group CTO mindset. I felt that I'd exhausted my own skills and we needed to bring fresh thinking to it. So we went out and found a group CTO during 2014 and that person was in place. I then continued to kind of do what all founders do when they're put out to pasture. You know, you run some blue sky projects, you figure out whether there's some strategic advantage in starting up new brands within the group. And I was doing bits and pieces like that. So I was really on a glide path out, but I wanted to see the company sold. It was obviously nice for me if that happened, but the VCs we'd had been in the company for 10 years at that stage, and I felt like they deserved a return. The sale is not kind of an end point. It's a funding event, right? You bring in new investors or you go public. So effectively, you're swapping out one set of investors for another. But it's a chance to refresh the team and to kind of reset the strategy and go for the next period of growth. So I was keen to make all of that happen along with obviously our exec team, but step off with that happening. So we found a private equity firm that wanted to invest in us in 2015. That happened in early 2016. I ended up staying for another year because I was quite keen to maintain some corporate memory and hand over very smoothly. So it did feel like my baby, but not to the point where I was emotionally distressed to leave it behind. I was ready to leave it behind, but I wanted to make sure it was in good hands.
Back, you know, when you were first starting and trying to dreaming of getting £250 a day and then sort of having 1,400 staff, it's sort of like a huge difference. But I guess if it's just slow, steady growth the whole time, it doesn't seem too crazy.
When I look back, we kept on thinking there would be some amazing breakthrough product or service or, you know, we'll launch this and this will really double our revenues. And in reality, there was no silver bullet that massively increased our sales. It was 1,000 small things and steady growth. And I think we kept searching for those kind of breakthrough moments. But along the way, somehow we grew anyway.
Yeah. Is it kind of ever demotivating to kind of be constantly like, oh, this other thing will make us go huge and it's just never quite working in that sense? Or is it always like, well, if we aim for this huge thing, it'll probably be quite good at least? What kind of mindset did that create?
I think I just learned that there are no kind of magic ways to grow. And like I said, if we come up with a new product and we said, we'll launch this and that's going to give us a million in revenue over the next year, we'd launch our product and it would do nothing. But then when we got to the end of the year, we'd somehow grown anyway. And we'd look back and we'd say, well, what product was responsible for that? And everything had grown, but the one or two things that we thought would make the most difference hadn't. And I think that I was very lucky in that, you know, the CEO, Stan, that came in, he must have been incredibly frustrated with me because I was pretty naive, you know, first time CEO, then a first time CTO. And he'd be very patient with me. He'd ask me, like, what's your plan for dealing with kind of agile or something like this? Or maybe how are you going to deal with outages and down events, and what's your process for help desk? And I kind of look blankly into the distance. And what I realized was he was effectively coaching me by saying, look, these are the things you need to figure out. Just go away and figure them out and come back when you're ready. And he basically taught me what it is to have a growth mindset. And what we realized was, whilst there was never a single product or service that made the huge leap that we were expecting, there was a way to think about multi-year growth and how to plan for it and how to track it and how to yield the best results from it. And during those years from 2006 to 2016, I think we executed that growth mindset really, really well. And it's actually one of the most valuable things that I end up kind of passing on to scaling stage companies and to think about their growth.
Oh, that's really useful advice for this podcast specifically, because it is, we do have these mindsets of things that you take up a new thing and you think it's, you kind of get to it super quickly. And it's like, if you want to be a great guitarist, you kind of just have to be quite bad at it for a year and slightly better for a year and just keep on doing it. And like every day you get a little bit better. And yeah, whenever it's like business growth or skills, is you just have to have like a slow mindset to keep on growing and it will get there.
The show today is brought to you by Praxis, a legitimate alternative to a college degree. They'll get you a great job without the cost, basically. Praxis is a 6-month course in skills that you need to land a job in marketing, sales, or operations. And graduates from Praxis get a starting salary of roughly 50k after graduation normally. And you pay no fees until you're hired. So I just think it's a really good way to get an education without all the costs. And I really believe that education is hugely overpriced, and like a college degree doesn't even teach you all the relevant skills that you need anyway. And it's much better to spend that time in the job earning money than it is being away from the things that you're going to be doing and you're just kind of wasting your time at a college paying crazy fees to learn out-of-date style information that you don't really need. So I'm a huge believer in proving your skills by doing rather than saying, and a formal education means that you have a document that says you might be good at something, whereas Praxis gives you the time to actually do the things that show you are good by giving you experiences to learn from them. You can find out more on their homepage, discoverpraxis.com. You can also get a free ebook about Praxis to find out if this is the kind of thing for you at discoverpraxis.com/show notes. So that was Praxis, a legitimate alternative to a college degree.
So is there any sort of regrets or like difficulties around your mental health that you've had with running a business in terms of being stressed with too much work or not having enough time for your children, would you say, or ways that you've found of coping?
I definitely had a lot of time apart from my wife and kids in the early years. And it wasn't so much that I was physically apart from them, because I kind of had a rule that I would down tools at 6 p.m. and go home. So I was around, but my wife often says I was here but wasn't here. And she meant that, you know, I'd come home and I'd eat, but then I'd open my laptop again and I'd be working for another 3 or 4 hours and be distracted at the weekend. It was all consuming. I feel like I've made up for it now, but I was lucky in that I had the chance to make up for it. And then I think the lowest point for me was around 2007, which is a year into the European expansion story, when I naively said that I could build this super duper website. And I just realized the project was horribly off course. And I honestly felt I had no clue how to fix it. And again, I was lucky that Stan, my CEO, was very patient with me. I think he probably would have had justification for firing me at that point, but he just kind of kept urging me to work through the problems and figure it out. And I think it was a very low point. I physically had palpitations. I checked myself into hospital. I just thought, I can't cope. And actually, that was a good reset point for my life, because I thought, well, I'm going to fix this project and I'm not going to be as ambitious next time. Because I was cross with myself. I had the option of offering a less ambitious project. Basically, like, let's just use the existing website that we have in the UK and make it work in multi-languages. That would have been a much easier thing to deliver, but we didn't do that. We said, oh, it's going to be web 2.0 and drag and drop, and it's going to be amazing. And it was just too much. So I think once I got that back on track, I thought, well, that's the project under control. What about me? And I figured out that I just had the wrong balance in my life. I was not exercising, I was not eating as well as I should have been. I was just not giving myself any opportunity to kind of de-stress and sleep well and all those things that you're supposed to do these days. And I fixed those and started swimming and running and eating better and sleeping better. And I came out of that hole, and ever since I felt like my life's been under control in a way that it wasn't before.
You think it's almost like being pushed to the edge taught you how to cope better, and that you sort of actually learned like a useful skill for life by being pushed?
Yeah, I do. I think I'm very adaptive. I'm sure lots of people are as well, but I think that's one of my things. Like, I'm a generalist. I'm not a deep technologist. I'm not going to be the guy who writes the code personally for, you know, this complex thing. I'm good at assembling teams now, ironically. I'm good at, you know, finding the people that can contribute. I'm good at explaining what needs to be done. And I know enough about marketing, technology, finance to be dangerous, but I rely on others to take me the full way. And I think having that smattering of skills is really helpful and helps me take control of any situation that I'm thrown. But I'm adaptive. I learn quickly from experience and feel inoculated the next time and ready to act.
Yeah, anti-fragile. Cool. That was appropriate. Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser, and I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I run the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with a friend, where we read and discuss a great non-fiction book a week. We talk about things like philosophy, psychology, the economy, self-improvement, and business. Books such as The Black Swan, Anti-Fragile, Invisible Women, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great resource. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other, or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial, and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people, and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things, and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you, and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously, do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.